This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 4th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Scally. How are you doing, Scally?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. Excited to break down such a wild day. So many things to talk about now. That's a little quieter, but, you know, things definitely still to go through.
Yes, we are here, of course, to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 60 in the house, and we had a veto competition, and we had a veto winner.
Yeah, a veto competition did happen yesterday. Talking about the veto competition,
Not a ton to get through today in terms of things going on. It was the comics veto, so we'll talk about some of the comics that we've heard about. We'll sort of update you on what's happening here. We did get a veto draw. Turner was the only person not to be chosen to play in the veto. So Turner is going to be sitting out of this one, the last time that somebody will be sitting out of a veto. And then most of the morning was taken up by, and this is part of why there's not a ton to talk about, just more of Terrence talking about Michael and Brittany and the timing of them releasing the information and all of that. Primarily, he's going to talk with Taylor and give her his pitch on why they're just as bad as Kyle. And he will say to her that her relationship with them disgusts him, and that he hopes she sees what's really happening. And her response is basically like, I see what's happening. I see more than people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's led to a pretty quiet house. Not everyone is talking to everyone. So it's staying, little conversations of twos or threes every so often, but not a whole lot of talk going on where everyone feels pretty locked into what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much what's going on there. He's going to continue to talk to other people about it. He's going to talk to Alyssa just continue on around this stuff. But eventually he's going to get around to Michael. Before that, though, Brittany is going to talk to Michael about hey, should we really be targeting Terrence? Like, Turner is definitely coming for you. Turner's probably better at competitions. Like, should we just target Turner? And Michael is essentially just like, nah, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go against my word.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk of like, well, he shouldn't have made us give him his word, but since we did, we're not going to go ahead and betray that. Even though he is perfectly sitting there with no chance to be able to play in the veto competition and Target is prime for the taking. No, they're going to sit this one out this week.
Mm-hmm. So Terrence is then going to talk to Michael and give his whole pitch about, you know, I think that the timing was wrong. He does sort of like say, like, you know, there were plenty of people that everyone was trying to backdoor you last week. It's not just me, and stuff like that. And he is going to really go hard again on like, hey, when I get to jury, I'm going to make sure they know my series of events, like the timeline that I'm going to give them. Really, again, just like basically telling Michael straight up, like, I don't think you can win this game. I'm going to make sure you don't win this game. Michael is going to continue to try to sort of like defend himself and say, yeah, I did my best, you know, under the circumstances. I really tried to do the right thing. I definitely made some mistakes, but, you know, hopefully, you know, you can sort of just take it or leave it. Like, this was my intent. These were my actions. And, you know, that's all I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Terrence has not been super effective in the House, but I do think that this could definitely hold some weight in some opinions of the jurors. Curious to see how that plays out. I don't think that Michael is yet like thinking that if he gets to the end, he really could lose, but it's at least a question in my mind now where it was not before.
Yes. Well, Terrence is also going to talk with Brittany right after that. It was kind of funny because he goes downstairs, he's talking to Brittany, and Michael is just like watching them on the cameras. Because they're talking in the kitchen, and he tells her about the situation again. And she is she's really going to like be Brittany here and sort of like be like, no, no, but I'm on your side. And she says, well, here's the thing about the timing is that Michael knew before I did. So then by the time I found out, like, I also wanted to like wait until I was sure. And I think that maybe caused even more delay. And like, it was a confusing time. And he's like, yeah, just the thing is that I want to make sure that I tell my side of it when I get to the jury. And she's like, you really want to go to the jury? Like, you really just like, don't even want to be here anymore. And he's like, wow, what am I going to do? She's like, you could win the veto. And he's like, what? And that saves me for 1 week. So he's like the House target. And she's like, well, you never know. She says that the people that have a smaller chance of winning in the end should be sticking together. And she lets him know that the leftovers had all said that if there was ever any leftover against a non-leftover in the final two, they would vote for the leftover. And so that's, you know, something they joked about it, but it's something that he should be aware of. And he says, you know, but okay, I don't know. What do you want to win the veto? She's like, yeah, look, I'm not going to lie. Right now, it doesn't look good for you. I want you to stay, but my allies, Michael, Taylor, they don't want you to stay. And so I need you to go out there and win the veto. He's like, but maybe my conversation with Michael just changed his mind. So maybe that's not true anymore. She's like, sure.
Yeah, maybe. I love the idea of the woman who has been playing for second place since week three being shocked that someone doesn't want to play to win anymore. So, you know, things are happening in the House. But yeah, it's not quite surprising to see Terrence, who like really has had no more than 3 days in power this entire game, to just be like, all right, I get it. I was going home eventually. And so we'll see if he can turn the attitude around. But I think that he's pretty resigned to going to jury here.
Mm-hmm. So Michael and Brittany are going to kind of like debrief after this and talk about what Terrence is saying. And really mostly just like it's sort of setting in for Michael that this is it, because they were laughing about Terrence sort of like trying to poison the jury about against him the night before, at least Taylor was. And I think it's setting into him now that like, oh my God, like this, like, could you imagine if I like went out to get to the end, you know, essentially like that means he's won like 14 or 15 competitions in the single season. And then I lose because of this, like that would be pretty frustrating. And, you know, that, he's getting a little worried.
Yeah, you know what? I don't blame him. I feel like in terms of being a little worried, I think that it is a little bit of a possibility. I would be quite wild to see him beat the comp record by, you know, multiple comps at that point and then still lose.
Yeah. I personally don't think that's going to happen, especially if he has won that many comps. I also don't think that Terrence personally is going to have that much of an impact on the jury. But you never know.
We'll see.
Monty is going to talk to Taylor and make a pitch to her that after talking about dreams and the lack of Kyling that he's been able to do in the house, he's going to talk to her about how they should take a shot at Brittany. This is what he has talked about with Turner, that obviously if Michael wins the veto, that they should vote Brittany out. Taylor's like, that's a terrible idea. Why would you take a shot at Brittany when then Michael's coming straight at you the next round? Right now, Michael wants to go to four with us. If you take out Brittany, then because he won, then he's going to win the next week and he's going to take you out. Monty's kind of like, yeah. It's not a bad point.
It's definitely a point. I get the like urgency to take a shot at Michael and Brittany at this point at final six. Like, he's playing in the veto regardless. At least if Brittany were to somehow win a veto over Mike, then he would force her to play it on herself. But definitely exposing your game a lot to put them both on the block initially. And like, yes, Brittany is a piece for Michael, but how many comps is she winning? How big of a jury threat is she? It's tough to really weigh out that that's worth it.
Yeah. And I mean, especially for Taylor, who I think absolutely intends to go to the final two with Brittany at this point. It's like, don't take away my final two. Like,
yeah, let's no.
It's not great. They're going to play the veto. It's a long, long veto competition because it's BB Comics. So it's individually timed and it takes a little while. So feeds are down for a large portion of the day. That's part of why there's not as much to talk about as well. And when the feeds come back, Michael has won his sixth veto in a single season, breaking the record. The record set originally by Janelle in Big Brother 7 in 2006, 16 years ago. A few people have tied this veto record. Nobody has ever broken it since, of course, Janelle set it 16 years ago. Six vetoes in one season. In addition to that, another record that Janelle set in 2006 and Big Brother 7 was that she won 9 competitions in one season. Nobody has even tied that record. Nobody has matched it since she set it until now. 16 years later, Michael has won now 9 competitions in one season. And he did it in the same amount of competitions as Janelle. She had won her 9th on her 14th competition. He wins his 9th on his 14th. Competition. Her overall win percentage, though, was 9 out of 15 because she goes on to lose the final 3 HOH, which we count as one competition, though technically she lost twice to lose that competition. Michael's 15th competition will be the double eviction veto, where he will either win his 10th competition in a single season, his 7th veto of the season, or likely be sent to the jury and have end up with the exact same win percentage as Janelle. The only difference between the two of them right now and the reason why he's broken the veto record while Janelle has 5 vetoes is that Janelle had 4 HOHs and 5 vetoes. Michael right now has 6 vetoes and three HOHs. He theoretically, if he won the final five HOH and the final three HOH, could beat the U.S. record for HOH wins in a single season, which is currently four. Lots of people have four HOHs. Nobody in the U.S. has broken that, though, at this point, to hit five, I believe. In Canada, I think both Dane and Dimitri have five HOHs in a single season. But that's Canada.
It's wild. I mean, I grew up with this record. So look at that. It's gone. It's broken. That's wild. Can't believe it. I mean, I think we obviously flagged up Michael as quite the competitor early on in the season, but to be six veto wins deep now, nine competitions total, that is like outclassing so many people. I think I see a lot of people saying, like, is Michael that good or is everyone else that bad? I think Michael's that good. I don't think that everyone else here is particularly bad at competitions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why this is such a unique stat, right? Like, there have been plenty of like bad competitors in casts before. Like, it's not like oh yeah, all it takes is to be competing against a bunch of bad people. It's like, you know, it's again one of the competitions that Michael lost because he threw it was the counting stay or fold veto, in which somebody did the math and he performed better than anybody in the history of the show on that competition while throwing it, intentionally putting a wrong answer. He still had the highest percentage, a closeness to the actual count. If he had not been throwing it, it would have been far closer even. So yeah, I'm pretty sure he's that good.
Yeah, that's wild. I would be curious to look at the breakdown and like what percentage of comps were like skill based here versus like, I feel like there used to be more like kind of crapshooty competitions early on. So that would be interesting to look at, and also probably like more physical here versus booth competitions. Not that I think Michael will be bad at booth competitions, but definitely interesting if you look at the breakdown, but nine overall when they are skill competitions is incredibly impressive.
Yes. I was also curious about like, okay, well, how many people was Michael competing against? Because there, for instance, was that one veto where they competed in pairs, and it's really, he's only competing against two other entities. And so that's going to be a lot easier for him. However, even counting that, he only competed against really two other people, he still actually competed against a larger field on average than Janelle, at defeating 51 opponents to Janelle's 48 in their various winning competitions. So yeah, I can't really even give that one. You can say, of course, that you know, there were a couple of instances like that. That one veto that he won where, again, it was, they were pairs and, you know, you had Nicole maybe throwing it. You had Jasmine passing out. That was kind of a gimme. You had like Terrence throwing the OTEV competition to him. Apart from that though, I'm pretty sure that like he pretty much just won these straight up. You also have to consider the fact that, there were some situations with Janelle, you know, like one of her HOH wins was a double HOH, in the first week. And, she also had, many opportunities where people were throwing competitions to her, for a good portion of the season. So I'm pretty sure they're at least equal in that regard. And on top of all of that, again, we have at least one competition, that counting one, where we can say that he genuinely threw that competition and genuinely we know would have won the competition if he had not thrown it. On top of that, there are a couple of other competitions that he threw that we would assume he would have at least come close to winning. So overall, I mean, very, very impressive here from Michael. And again, we are heading toward this double eviction veto where it might be his final competition or it might be him just obliterating the veto record and becoming the new overall total comp win record. It's an exciting double eviction.
Yeah, so much on the line, both in the all-time comp record and literally his game potentially. So it's a big one. I feel like double evictions already have a ton of intrigue, and that's even one more thing that we can be looking out for. Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going on there. I tweeted out a series of tweets with most of all of this information. If you're curious to just like look through it again, you can sort of find that Twitter tweet thread, whatever they call them on the Twitter streets.
You had it. It was right.
So we'll see. Now, of course, one more thing to potentially talk about is that, you know, we also have like total competition wins, right? We've been talking a lot about like single season wins. Michael is going to, if Michael wins every competition he competes in from now on, right? Then he will have the double eviction veto, then the final five HOH and veto, the final four veto, and the final three HOH. Which is five more potential competitions that he can win. He could theoretically lose the final five HOH and compete in the final four HOH, win that one, and also win five competitions because you can compete in both the final four HOH and the final three HOH. That's five more potential competitions to win. That means that if he did win them, he would win 14 competitions in a single season, which is the amount of competitions, I believe, that Paul won in two seasons. Paul, I think, being the record holder here, although that may be slightly outdated information. I don't remember how many Cody has won now at this point, but either way, like we've still got some things on the horizon here at this point. Like he's got some other things that he could theoretically conquer.
Yeah, that's wild to be even approaching like someone who is known as one of the best competitors of all times comp win over two seasons all in one is absolutely wild.
So that's what we've got going on. Now it was BB Comics, as I said, and we do have an idea of, I think, most of the comics for the most part here. There was a whole segment where they talked about most of them, but then the feeds cut and I didn't get, I think I'm missing a couple of them, but we have some comics to talk about. Mm. We have Pooch was a dog.
All right.
Yeah. Prime is about to get boned.
Yeah. I mean, What do you expect? There wasn't a lot to do there.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, the backstage, backstage boss. That's about all else that they could do, I would think. But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, see, that's the sort of one where I'm like, it's okay that you went with the low-hanging fruit. His name is Pooch. He was on the show for like a week. You know, fine. It's mm-hmm. It's the ones where they've been on the show for like 2 months and you're still doing the joke that we made in the preseason that I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like we always say that they take all of these jokes from week one or two and just run with them because they got to get the art done. But I do think a couple of them were pulled from further that we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah. Joseph's, they said, was basically, I have abs and I punch people.
I mean, it's at least half accurate there. so that's good. I don't know. I'm curious to see this one because I feel like maybe they just didn't get it. I know there were some that they didn't get otherwise, but I don't really know what they would do for Joseph either.
Yeah.
Do you just draw him accurately, though? Or like, are they going to even exaggerate?
Because, right.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you exaggerate Joseph's physique?
Yeah.
I maybe make him taller. I guess it's the only thing.
There you go.
Indy was a Brazilian waxer.
Hmm. Okay. You know, I would have expected the rock star, the punk guitar costume. So, you know what? Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I guess they at least didn't go for the costume, but like, I feel like there were some other, like, we could have done her being grumpy about not sleeping. We could have done like sex coach stuff.
That's right? True.
I feel like not a fan of this one. Michael was the copycat. The cat. He's where his cats. His cats were in the comic, apparently, with their names. I believe also he was in a lab coat, which was they were like, ah, ha ha. He's a secret scientist.
Yeah, they always put people's jobs hidden in these somewhere. So that seems accurate. But Michael's always talking about his cats, so it's fine.
Yeah. Taylor was the potato chip.
This one's good. I like this one. I'm excited.
One bite and she's ready to fight.
And she's like very happy with how it was drawn, etc. And I feel like sometimes there are a little rude in the face. So very glad that they got this one right.
Yes, she loved it. She thought it was great. I'm not sure I know the name. Is Snowtime for Terrence instead of Showtime, I believe, was sort of the thing here. And his image was him like flying over Chicago with his DJ set up. And then there was something about like chill, DJ Snowtime was like, he's like chilling you or something. He's making you chill because it's snow. He was, he said he was worried that it made him look like an old guy. And they were like, nah, it was cool.
Yeah. The guy flying, bringing snow over the city, Santa, definitely not an old guy.
Turner's, I think, was Rug of War or something along those lines. Some of these might be like the tagline and not the actual name because it's, you know, they got to see it. So they don't need to like describe all of the things. They're just kind of reminiscing. But Turner said he looked like Steve Buscemi. and Monty said he looked like drugged up Rambo.
Yeah, this one apparently was one of the ones that was not drawn super well, so they were not particularly happy. No, Turner's not been thrilled with Zingbot or his comic, so that's tough. Definitely tough.
Yeah, apparently he was like vacuuming people into his rug or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Monty was the Count of Monte Cristo. And this was pretty funny because they were like, yeah, who is that? Yeah. Monty's like, was he like a magician?
Yeah.
Terrence's like, no. I think he was like a swordsman in Italy.
Yeah, they'll get there eventually. So what a fun Google search on the way out.
Is Monty like, is he like coming for revenge? Is that, are they just, you know, Monte Cristo, Monty, is that it?
100%. It's level one. That's his name. Let's go.
We're also gonna get Brittany was Brit Flea.
Brittany hates this so much. She is stressing out, running around the house. Like, do I itch? Do I itch my face? Do I itch a lot? Am I annoying? What am I doing? I'm like, okay, calm down. But yeah, she is not thrilled with the comic.
Yeah, she's like, so apparently what I've learned is that I have weird bug eyes and I guess I'm like a flea. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And people have even talked about like, notice that Brittany and Michael have gotten bad zings and bad comic here. So interesting to extrapolate on how people are feeling about them on the outside. I don't know if it's 100% accurate in all cases, but people are definitely thinking it.
Paloma did not have a comic, apparently. So there's that. Alyssa was Melissa, as in Mall Issa, I guess, because she's a girl.
Yeah, tell me that they think you have no personality without telling me that they think you have no personality. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know what I would have done for Alyssa, but not this.
Yeah, I mean, this just made no sense to me or them. Other than Kyle's, was there anybody else's that you caught? Because that's like the extent of what I had.
I think that was everything that I had seen.
All right. Well, there's also Kyle's. Kyle was Rep Kyle. He's a rep Kyle. He's he's a reptile.
That sounds okay.
He apparently had a long tongue.
Okay.
Which is a little weird. His tagline was a reptile dysfunction.
Yeah. I don't know if there's been a worse comic. Like, that is rough. That is so rough. Wow. Just speechless.
Yeah. Taylor had to spell it out for Terrence and Monty. They were like, something about dysfunction. Yeah, she said a reptile dysfunction.
Almost the opposite of Kyle's problem, but
yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, look, I get the play on words here, but not super accurate. It ended up confusing Alyssa. She was like, isn't that when it doesn't work?
Yeah.
Brittany was like, yeah, I mean, and she's like, but for Kyle, why would they say that? And Brittany was like, I don't know. You tell me, Alyssa. I figured you'd know.
Yeah. I don't know why you're asking us.
She's like, I don't know. I don't think he had any trouble. Like,
you don't think?
So that was Kyle's. Jasmine's, I think, was to do with the muffins, I think. But I'm not sure exactly what it was.
Yeah, they said that there were muffins on either Jasmine's or Turner's. I didn't catch whose the muffins were featured on.
I feel like they could have put like a 10, like there's definitely a way that they could have put 10 seconds in there instead of a reptile dysfunction, which is less accurate. Yeah, those are the comics. Remember in BB21 where we got like a whole thing about the jury seeing their comics? I need it.
Yeah. Because they're even like, oh, we should probably tell him so that he is prepared for when he gets out of the house. It's like, or we could show him. Like,
I mean,
you're saying he's gonna know.
Yeah, like he has to, like he know, like he has to know that this was on the feet. And so like this is the thing too, like Taylor is really loving this. She's like, you have to understand, right, that like how would they know unless it was like, oh, sorry. You know what I mean? Like in the middle of like, they must have talked about it. Like,
yeah, I mean, there were conversations with Kyle and Alyssa where Kyle was like, do you think America knows that? Like what we did? She's like, yeah, like it might've been on feet. So he's like, oh no. So I don't know if he knows exactly how much America knows. There were a lot of conversations that, I bet he wishes did not make air.
Well, yeah, that's,
to say the
least. That's the case. Probably shouldn't go on national television, but
you know.
What are you going to do? Those are the comics. We'll see what they look like when we get there. Michael with the veto does not intend to use it. He wants Terrence to go still. Something else, he wants to address the fact that Terrence is going to try to poison the jury in his veto speech, that essentially call it out ahead of time and sort of let the jury know, like, hey, Terrence is real bitter about the fact that I'm sending him out, and he's going to try to poison the jury against me, which I think is a pretty decent play here. It's sort of like get it in their heads that like this may be coming from a place of like upset that Michael took him out more than anything else.
Yeah, this is something that only a super fan would think to do, knowing that they get to see the veto ceremony in the jury house, and that's one of the only things they'll get to watch. So decent way of sending a message that you otherwise had no chance of getting to the jury.
Yeah. And sort of, yeah, even just like yeah, just prepping their minds so that when Terrence starts, you know, going off like, hey, he doesn't deserve to win, like, oh, yeah. OK, so Michael is right. You are going to try and do this. Like,
Yeah. I wonder if there's a way in the future where we get people who like, oh, and like the fabulous Jasmine could have been here, like really bigging up the jury and they get to watch that just, you know, campaigning to them in your jury speeches, in your veto speeches. It's an interesting thing that I hope doesn't develop, though.
Yeah, I think it's hard to put it in there naturally, where it doesn't come off as like just uber pandering.
Yeah.
But hey, some people don't even mind just uber pandering. I'm sure Jasmine wouldn't. If he mentioned Jasmine, I think she'd be all into it. She'd be like, he'd be like Terrence, I know that you intend to. I know that you're upset about what's happening, and that you intend to go to the jury and really poison them against me. My best friend Jasmine, though, I don't think will listen to you. She's getting a wonderful gift if I win the what? No, what? That's the Paloma said we couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. He doesn't want to use the veto. Monty and Turner, they're upset again. Like, oh, guess who won again? What are we gonna do? Monty says, put a ball in my hand.
Yeah, Monty is waiting for these ball comps, just really counting down the days until they just do at least one. Just one is all he needs.
He was talking to Taylor earlier, and like, because he's just wanted a competition where he plays with a ball because he knows he can beat Michael in a ball comp. And it goes as far as Bowl Arena. Even a bowling ball is enough of a ball. He says, I am a bowler. All right. I've been bowling before. So I can beat him in Bowl Arena. And Taylor was like, you think so?
Yeah.
Well, at least I'd have more of a chance, right? At least it's something.
If you told me that Michael was in a bowling league, I'd believe you. like, that sounds right. I don't know. I just am waiting for...
He's like the Slumdog Millionaire of Big Brother 24.
I'm waiting for the only ball comp to come up to be the one where you're like running back and forth 100 times, like putting it over the hump. So I don't know if that is the type of ball comp that Monty's even looking for. Yeah, I think it's going to be tough here for Monty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michael did. He was kind of disappointed that the comic veto was this week because he was hoping that it would be next week when he might need to win the veto more. This is a winnable veto for him. And, you know, being able to win it this week means that there might be a non-winnable veto for him next week, which, yeah, it's because it's a double eviction. It might not be a winnable veto for you.
Mm-hmm. We shall see. Those are usually quick. So I think Michael still stands a pretty good shot at almost anything that's going to come up during a double eviction, but not as locked in as a BB Comics for sure.
Yeah. You know, I really feel like it might be the classic clown shoe, in which case could really be anybody's game. More so, I would say like Monty, Turner, Michael, Taylor than anything else. But that's like four capable winners as opposed to like Michael, everybody else.
Yep.
So we'll see. That's we also get some Alyssa's going to talk to Brittany some more. They're going to talk about working together. They're going to talk about just continuing their conversation from the day before where they were talking about how they should stick together and that they have the best shot of winning against each other. Alyssa does talk about needing to beat Michael. But Brittany's going to talk to Michael about this conversation afterward and be like, I'm still working on Alyssa. I feel like there's a chance we can get her on board. They're talking about ideally, they're in a situation where if they do get put on the block together and Michael wins the veto, that they have enough people who think that they can work with Brittany, that people won't vote Brittany out. And this is the situation we talked about yesterday, that, Michael takes himself down, maybe it's Monty as the HOH, he replaces Michael with Taylor. Maybe this work that Brittany's putting in with Alyssa means that both Michael and Alyssa will vote to keep Brittany, which would mean Taylor is out. And vice versa. If he puts up Alyssa or Turner, then Michael and Taylor, or Michael, Taylor, and Alyssa can all vote out Turner or Alyssa or whoever over Brittany. They're trying to get Brittany into a spot where she survives against anybody on the block, which is not that far-fetched at this point, given how the numbers play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels very realistic. I think that they're doing a good job of it. Good on Brittany and Alyssa, knowing that they probably really do need each other in this game, or at least would benefit pretty extensively from having each other. So I think they've both recognized an easy ally to pick up.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Now, it's important to note again, the conversations that Taylor is having with Terrence and Monty, where she has started to agree with them, at least to their faces. And my perception of this is that she's, especially with it when it comes to Terrence, is that she's giving him the don't worry, I see more than you think I do, is primarily focused on one of those sorts of things that she used to do when she was HOH, where she's like, yeah, and what I see is you, Terrence. But I think that she's putting in work with both Terrence and Monty, and she's going to be talking with them all through the night. Very important work, because she is in some real danger next week in this scenario that we've talked about, where Alyssa where she potentially goes up on the block. She needs to avoid the block. If Monty wins the HOH and he puts up Michael and Brittany, and Michael does win that veto, it cannot be Taylor that goes up, which means that Monty is going to have to put up Turner or Alyssa. And I think the only way he does that is if he feels good enough about where Taylor stands with him against Michael and Brittany. So convincing them, particularly Monty, that she is anti-Michael and Brittany is pretty vital to her survival next week, in my opinion. I don't know that there's anything she can do to convince Turner not to put her up at that point, though, which is a pretty rough spot. The only chance she has there is if there's just no reason for Alyssa to not vote out Taylor over Brittany there. So Turner winning that HOH is very bad for her. I really thought Michael would end up taking the shot at Turner. I thought this Michael HOH would be good for Taylor. It's not looking as good right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that as of right now, I don't think Monty would make Taylor the replacement nominee, but I don't think there's any getting out of it with Turner. If Turner was just Michael and Taylor go up initial noms, I wouldn't be floored either.
Yeah. So that's happening there. Brittany's also going to talk with Turner a little bit, try to get in his head about that we can't beat Monty or Taylor or Alyssa or Michael, right? She tries to have that conversation with Turner as well. She's having this conversation with Alyssa. She's having it with Terrence. She's also trying to have it with Turner. Turner pushes back a little bit on Alyssa. He feels like he could probably beat Alyssa, but he agrees that Monty's played a very clean game, a very respectable game. He could probably win. Taylor has a great story. Obviously, Michael is Michael. Brittany is really continuing with this campaign. She's been going around saying similar things to people, trying to continue to win allies and get people to sort of question who they want to bring to the end. Which she can kind of do because Michael's already in a spot where he's having to win out. So she can say all she wants. Obviously I don't want to go to the end with Michael. because it's not like she's going to convince anybody to not target Michael. The point is to convince them to not target her and to potentially target each other before her, if in the case that Michael wins things and stays safe. So again, we'll see how effective all of this is, but she is putting in some work here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we said, I feel like it's pretty easy job to get accomplished in terms of making herself not look like a big threat. So like that's already working for her, but doing decent work in terms of making people think that she is less worthy of a target of taking out in terms of how much she would help Michael moving forward.
Yep. And so that's about what I've got here for the day. Scally, anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, I feel good about it. I feel like a little bit of a slower day, but ramping up to a double eviction that has tons of intrigue, as we talked about.
Yeah, so I will say with Michael having the veto and not wanting to change things and wanting to send Terrence out, it looks like the week is potentially locked in at this point. The only way I would say that I think we've got a couple of things that could theoretically shift things up. I don't think it's very likely. But one of those things is that Taylor has been pretty on top of telling Brittany what Monty is doing. And the fact that Monty pitched for Brittany to go it's kind of a new wrinkle. And if Taylor tells Brittany that Monty now wants her out, I could see that shifting things in Brittany's head. She's already floated the idea of, hey, Turner or Monty, maybe they should go. If she knows that Monty is coming for her specifically, she may really start to hard push. Wait, maybe we really should take that shot at Monty this week. Now, I've said this all two other times that Michael has been HOH and Monty has been talking about targeting Michael and or Brittany on his HOH and that this could backfire. So history proves that this is not a huge thing, but Brittany is not as much of a passive sort of like, oh, people are targeting me, whatever player that Michael is. And so if she's really pushing, there's a chance that she could get through to Michael potentially. But there's not really much hint that that would happen at this point. Just trying to give you any kind of theoretical possibility of things changing. As of right now, it's pretty locked in that, tomorrow on Monday that the veto will not be used. But we'll see.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, from a logical standpoint, where Taylor might tell Brittany that Monty is targeting Michael because Taylor has no interest in, keeping Michael all the way until the end. Whereas I think Taylor's ideal final three, whether or not she is actively working towards it, is Brittany and Monty. Yeah. So hopefully she does not expose that that is as bad for Brittany as it may seem.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's about what we've got for today. Thank you all so much for joining us here. You can, of course, find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, hanging out, playing some games. I think we're playing Goose Goose Duck today, but, we'll see. Is today? I don't even remember. I don't know what the days are. I'm pretty sure we're playing today. So check that out. We'll have some fun with that. You can check out the Among Us videos I've been posting on YouTube. House of the Dragon is going to be tonight. So there'll be a post-show recaps book club podcast with me, recorded tomorrow. So make sure you check that out. Find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. You can find that tweet thread thing of the stats for Michael's wins. And that's pretty much what we've got going on. Scally, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Brian_Scally, where I'll tweet out pretty much anything I'm doing, especially if it's out of the ordinary. Still talking about the Challenge USA over on the Dom and Colin podcast. That's been a lot of fun, especially this past week. I thought it was a pretty good episode. And then we'll be on tomorrow with Rob, Jenny, and Asia talking about the penultimate episode of Claim to Fame, which I've been enjoying all season. So glad to finally jump in and talk about that. And as I said, anything else I'll send out on Twitter.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today, and I will see all of you next time.